Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to the podcast, Clock's Running, the podcast for everything flag football and flag football officials. I'm your host, Zane, along with the other host, Ant.
What up, Zane? You know, it's crazy because the last time I seen you, man, you were getting a beatdown in Madden from your little nephew, and I haven't heard of you since.
Man,
Are you good?
I was busy losing my nephew in Madden. I was with Dean in the Cayman Islands. I was somewhere chasing a solar eclipse. I've just been running around, man.
Man, but what we got going on tonight on the show?
Today we got a very special episode with officials from coast to coast. Let's go ahead and bring them on in. We've got Pat, we got Lance, and we got Jacob.
Gang, gang.
There we go.
We got the gang here with everybody.
All right, cool. But we got one more host, guest coming in tonight. I just wanted to give him a special introduction because up until like a few years ago, I'd never been to the state of Texas. Texas has done two things for me. It blew out my knee and it got me Iranian flag football. So without further ado, here is Chun himself. What up, Chun?
Are y'all talking about me?
What's up?
So, first of all, something to you guys. I think I misunderstood the assignment. I brushed my teeth and put on cologne for this shit. I thought we were going to all be in the same place.
What makes you think that?
I mean, he sent a link. I thought it was direction. I didn't know I was actually be on. I had to go pay my internet bill, but I'm glad to be here, man.
All right, good to have you, Chun. So, Zane, what do we got going on tonight?
So today we got a couple rule reviews, and then we're gonna jump into some other topics. But first, Chun, on the show, every new guest we always give them a chance to talk about their background with flag. So this is your chance to go ahead and tell everyone your origin story and how you got into flag football.
Oh man, how long is this damn show?
I've been
involved with flag for 25 years now. I started in a city league in Carrollton, Texas, playing 8-on-8, my most hated format other than co-ed. Just like I came from pads, and initially the first thing I said was, wait, can I cuss on this show or no? Are we good?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure, man.
Apologetically adult.
So fuck damn shit, pussies, all that's good?
Wow.
Man,
yeah.
I don't know who's watching. My kids are watching. Taylor and Faith, make sure you get in bed tonight, please. About 9:30. I started playing. I came out of pads, and then first thing I said, like everybody else, man, I'm not playing this pussy ass. Like, I didn't like it. I started playing the national tournaments, Let It Fly and Air It Out, when the NFL players used to host it, and I kind of liked it a little bit. Jumped into four-man, which is a young man's game, obviously, and next thing you know, we here in Dallas-Fort Worth, we came up with the rules and standards for 5-on-5 and been running with it ever since. I linked up with some dudes out of Richardson, Texas, named Jeff and Rod Richardson, who ran Mixed Breed, and it birthed pretty much every good player out of Dallas or came out of that league. And then, of course, with my business partner, Lance Wilson, who runs the biggest 5-on-5 league here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then I knew Travis from back in 3 days, over 15 years ago, 10 years ago. He looked like a Backstreet Boy, really quiet, long bangs over his face, skinny. He wasn't that good, but he owned a website, and he created Flag Football X and Flag Spin, and then he disappeared for a couple of years, and next thing you know, he was with this heavyset gentleman named Chuck, and here we are, USA Flag. And I met some of my best friends through them, and you know, it's kind of a reprieve for me because I was done with the local flag football scene, man, here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Y'all hear me complain about them all the time. And, you know, I love them dudes, man, but Dallas is very feminine when it comes to attitude and behavior when it comes to football. So, I'm glad I'm on the national machine. So.
Hey, so I got to take my chance to do this. Chun, can you please turn your hat around, man? This is a pre-snap.
I know y'all gonna do this shit. So let me show you what I'm doing. Pat, Lance, how you doing, Lance? Lance, first of all, with you, I didn't know if that was a hologram or you were like Professor X. Your head was floating in a couple of these episodes. Is that your house? What's going on there?
Oh, the virtual background, sir. I am not going to give you. I'm not going to give you details of my house. I don't know what you do with that.
I wasn't going to come rob you, but but every time I think y'all are lying on the show, I brought my friends with me. I'm going to take a drink every time I feel like one of y'all is not telling the truth.
Okay, well, you're drinking a lot.
All right, so we'll start with Lance. Now shout out to my guy Pat. What up, Pat?
What up, though?
But yeah, so that's my background with flag football. Currently, I'm the man with USA Flag. Pat is gone. And without me, I don't know if this company would continue. So I should drink to that, shouldn't I?
Yeah,
so that's it.
All right. That's enough of Chun for a little bit. Go ahead and get us into the topics.
So first, we're going to get into a little bit of rule review. First up, we've got stripping. So Jacob, if you could just go over the rules for stripping and just clear that up right fast.
All right. So first of all, we're not talking about taking your clothes off in the game. For some, that'd be fun. For a lot of others, that would not be fun.
So that's not allowed.
Not allowed for any format. But what we're talking about is taking the ball from a player who's established the ball in their hands, taking it from them. We look to our general rules for that. General rules, Rule 7, Section 1, Article 1, the first thing in there about defense, stripping or attempting to strip the ball from a player's hands, including the quarterback, is illegal. We go down to, interceptions, Section 5, same rule.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And it talks about interceptions may be returned in the event of an interception. The intercepting team must secure the ball with clean hands, i.e. they must not have committed a foul before or simultaneous to the interception.
Whoever playing the music might want to turn the music off, but YouTube is going to block the broadcast when you post it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, will they? Sorry, that's my tablet going off over there. I was expecting, my bad, Pat, I will shout out to you. You can understand, I was expecting red carpet and some music and firecrackers and shit. So.
My bad, Dick.
You got a budget for that?
We had that 15 minutes ago when the show was supposed to start.
Go ahead, Jacob.
No, you're good. So basically what we're saying is once that ball is in the receiver's hands, the ball stopped moving. You can't take the ball or from a player's hands, rather, because we'll say a defender too. You can't take the ball out of a person's hands. So that's where we're at with stripping.
So, Jacob, the reason that we're bringing up this rule is there was a video going around. I know you got all kinds of emails. You got direct messages. You were busy answering all the questions. They posed a simple question, whether it was a TD or an interception. And from your explanation, it was a stripping penalty, correct?
Yep. Okay. If you have to give one way or the other, you go with the first person to have the ball. But I think still at the end of the day, it would still be a stripping penalty. It wouldn't be a you because technically by the rule, the person never had possession of the ball. Right. But the way the defender or the receiver who, or the person who was on offense came up with the ball was they took the ball out of the defender's hands. Our rules don't state that you have to have possession. Our rules state the ball is if the ball is in your hands, you cannot remove it from somebody else's hands. So it's one thing if you're going for a 50-50 ball and it's you guys are together at the same time. It's another thing if that person's got the ball clearly in their hands and they're moving the ball towards their body or any other movement. Whether they've got a foot down or not doesn't have any kind of bearing based on what we have written.
Lance, anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, it's so easy to review it after the fact and slow-mo it. If you're just doing it if you're just doing it bang bang, I'll go, like I was telling a bunch of people that were asking about it, I'm like, I would probably go with any call that anyone would have said, like, just because of the way the positioning, and it was a bang bang play, and you can make arguments for both ways. So it's like, just make the call, live, move on, next play.
Yep.
Yeah. So Chun, I know in Dallas your officials wear speaker boxes on their hips. Do you think that would have helped make the correct call?
Okay, so you're about CK and Corey Webb, I'm guessing.
I thought it was Dallas.
I don't know. Do y'all have an issue with the speaker box? Because mine just came in from Amazon today. Should I have yeah, we're different in especially, I will say that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. I just wanted to double check. The next rule that we're going to talk about, this is something that happened yesterday. I was officiating co-ed league play in Southern California. So, Jacob, if you can just review as far as it goes with a gender play, a false start under 2 minutes, what happens in co-ed?
So this is going to be some fun because I think there's a little bit of a disagreement here. So, with a defensive penalty and non-contact, an offensive penalty for a pre-snap penalty declares gives a loss of down along with the yardage. A defensive penalty gives an automatic first down pre-snap and the yardage. That's only under 2 minutes of each half. Now, the question comes into play. If we're at second down, it's open one, if I'm counting down, for open one, my teammate false starts, we lose the down, so now we're at third down. Are we at an open or closed play? My opinion, based on the way the rules are written, the way we have it, I believe we're at close. I believe you if you lose the down, you lose the gender play as well. No, the play hasn't happened, but if we treat the penalty like a live ball foul with a loss of down, I believe you lose the down as well, or you lose the play as well.
Okay, Zane, you seem to be a little upset about that opinion earlier. How do you feel now? Do you agree, disagree?
I wouldn't say I fully disagree, because, I mean, I do understand it. But at the same time, why are we treating it like a live ball penalty when it's a dead ball? Like, I understand that under 2 minutes, it changes things. But I don't think a team should be penalized, the open or close, on a play that did not run. Why not just keep them the regular penalty of five yards, loss of down under two, but why are we making them lose the open play?
Because the same could be said about the loss of down. If we're doing it, in my mind, it should swing all one way or all the other. It shouldn't be half one way, half the other. It's too much to keep up with.
But you don't think, just from my perspective, you don't think that would be like a triple penalty? Like, you lose the down, you use the yardage, and you lose the option to get a first down with the gender as well, if you have one open?
Hasn't that always been the way small ball is, though? Is it's do or die by your penalities?
It is. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I mean, that's my mindset behind it. Talking with some co-ed folks and co-ed directors, I think there's been some slightly deferring opinions, but yeah, that's mine. That's the way I see it.
Lance, what are your thoughts?
So I am going to put – so I get both sides. I'm not going to argue either way. I'm just going by the way the rule book stipulates. It's based on a play, not the down. It is based on the play. So if we're only doing it by the play, a play hasn't happened yet. It's a dead ball. Play has – the down is consumed. I get that. That's fine. But a play has not happened. So I can make the argument, and, you know, this is me being the analytical person. A play has not happened. So therefore, gender play has not been consumed. A down has been consumed because we're calling that a down. In the rule books, it says a down is changed. But it doesn't specifically say – it specifically says a play has to be consumed. So that's my argument for saying, no, down is consumed, but it's open one still. So it's third down, open one versus – so that's how I interpret it.
So, Chun, since you wrote the rules 25 years ago, can you explain why you weren't more clear in your rule book?
Well, hold on, please.
Uh-oh, he drinking. Yep, you about to lie. Listen to
Hey, it's going down when I get off this show, okay? Actually, no. With co-ed, this smells like a Nathan Williams thing to me. Nathan, Jonah, somebody has got together and made this more complicated than what it is. I stand with Lance and Zane on this. A play has not occurred. It should not be a loss of a play. That's how it should be. We're making shit retarded by overthinking this. It's football, man. It's football.
It's giving the opposing team an advantage, too. So,
I don't think it's giving the opposing team. It's your screw up.
Yeah, but I've been running.
Well, you already lost. No, so here's the thing: you've already lost down. You've lost the yardage. You've lost the down.
Right.
So
it's double jeopardy. Why are we doing that?
So that's fine. So it's going to be third down, and if they're inside, So if it's second down, open one from the five, now we're going third down from the 2.5, and they still got to get to midfield. Why would we penalize? We still want to give them the opportunity to still try and get it to get to midline. It will be closed on the next play no matter what.
Yep.
Unless there's a defensive penalty. So give them the option to get it versus them saying, you know what, screw it, we're done. Right? Give them the opportunity. Again, if you want to stipulate it the way you want it, Jacob, you have to get rid of the word play.
Is that the way I want it? That's just the way I interpret it.
So I take down and play
the same thing.
No, it's not.
So
format or that.
So that's kind of where from just reading it. That's how I would interpret it. Is a down is consumed, but the open one play still remains.
So, I mean, even easier fix would be to just make non-contact and contact similar that those play.
No. That would be too easy.
Okay, sorry. Well, anyway, I brought this rule up because, like I said, it happened yesterday. But this is all I'm saying is John Caker and Showtime, they were all happy with how I made the call. So I mean,
I'm not even going to go there with that group.
That's your guy.
I'm just going to leave. You can have them all day, every day, there, Mr. Ant.
I mean,
your guy, John.
Is that a new bottle?
That's a new bottle test.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead on that.
So moving forward,
did somebody say Caker?
Yeah.
Carry on. We're good.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, the last rule we're going to review, just because in every format, this is very different. And so, Jacob, I just want you to talk about it, how the different formats change this rule as far as a forward pass. Behind the line of scrimmage, if you can just explain that for us.
Absolutely. So in our non-contact formats, if you make a forward pass behind the line of scrimmage, the line of scrimmage has no bearing on a forward pass. When a forward pass is made, you are allowed to advance the ball no matter where you're at on the field. In our contact formats, when you are within 5 yards of midline, when you're within 5 yards of the goal line, you have to make a forward pass beyond the line of scrimmage in order for it to be illegal. So it's just two different things. It's the way they've done it forever for both formats or for both styles. And it's just one of those things.
Okay. And then also how does that affect like a gender play in co-ed?
So in co-ed, there is the caveat that if you're trying to complete a gender play, you do have to throw the ball beyond the line. The ball has to advance beyond the line of scrimmage. So if you hand the ball off to a female and she runs, if she advances beyond the line of scrimmage, it's considered a legal play. If you throw the ball to a star who is a female and she throws the ball beyond the line of scrimmage, it is a legal play. If a female quarterback throws a backwards pass to a male and that male throws the ball beyond the line of scrimmage, it is only a male play unless he's completing the pass to a female.
Gotcha. Cool.
Does that cover everything for that?
All right. Does
that cover everything for that?
Yeah. No, that's good. Okay. All right. Cool. Zane, what do we got next?
So next we got uniforms and equipment for players and refs. And why does it matter? So – Pat, I'm going to ask you this question. Why does making sure the players' equipment and uniform, why does it matter to us and the game?
Well, the reason why it matters is because you don't want to give either team an advantage due to equipment. You don't want to have a team with shorter flags and one team with the regulation flag because that gives the other team an advantage. As far as cloth flags versus the regular shrooms or whoever flags, you know, if they're whether shredded or whatever, it's harder to pull because they flap more in the wind and they also get very slick as far as when they get wet or sweaty or whatever. That gives the team an advantage. As far as equipment, I've seen this more than once now, where a quarterback is wearing an earpiece in her ear. They give them an advantage as far as the quarterback because you have the coach on the sideline telling her who to throw the damn ball to. Hey, so-and-so is wide open, throw the ball or take off running instead of doing what he's supposed to do, because we know in college football and NFL, the damn headset goes off at 15 seconds, all communication. So that's a total disadvantage. It's a total advantage when it comes to equipment. So that's why it's important, because you don't want to give the other teams those advantages when other teams don't have the same option. Even if they did, it's still, you know, frowned upon. Now, when you say what you – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bat.
No, now that's all I got to say when it comes into the uniforms. Oh, and also with the pockets. The reason why, no pockets is due to the fact that, it causes your fingers to get caught inside of a pocket, break a finger. And that's just also the rules, point blank general. That's all I got on that topic as far as the players.
For sure. So, Chun, I don't know if you listened last week, but we were talking about how whiny Dallas players are specifically. But they not only are they whiny, but they love to not wear the right equipment. And if there's any team that, there's a pro team, and I've actually had them tell me that they want to make sure as officials we earn our paycheck by checking all of their equipment. So is that, do you feel like that'll change as things progress forward, or what are your thoughts?
No. I myself caught our fearless leader Travis in San Diego wearing illegal flags. I approached him on the field and I said, I made one of his teammates go buy flags from the booth. I said, Travis, what are you doing? And he said, it's y'all's job to catch us. And I said, great example, brother. You're the guy. And that's just how we do it. We, Dallas, will cheat till you catch us.
Sound about right.
I mean,
I didn't know anything about these eights flags that are like, this this long. And when I was in San Antonio, everybody was wearing them. It almost made it seem like it was uniform.
Not only that, we got guys with super glue, fishing wire, Gorilla tape. Yeah, I'll show you that in Vegas when we get there this week. there's a lot of tricks that a lot of refs don't see from the sideline that Dallas players will try to sneak past you. Texas players in general. It's just stuff we've known for a long time, because what I've learned, you guys know it, because, and all due respect to you guys are the best of the business. You guys go everywhere we go, from California all the way to New York. So, you guys have earned your stripes. But good refs like yourselves are penalized by bad officiating. And, when y'all finally catch something and say something, they lose their mind because they're not used to somebody seeing what should have been caught a long time ago. That's kind of the trend now, make this ref earn his pay. For some odd reason, they think you guys are making $30 a game and you're not. And, they just think y'all are millionaires off flag football. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
So I don't know if you had, like when you were a little kid, you had a hat thrown at you or you got some sort of PTSD. But why in particular is the rule of the hat being forward and backwards? Why is that so important to you, Chun?
Two reasons. One, for one, okay, so let me tell you guys something. There's this thing that was invented many, many years ago called a white hat. I don't know where the hell that came from. It's kind of racist, but we'll go past that. And this person is supposed to be good enough to catch everything on the field. That's what your job is. You are the man on the field. So or when there's something or a woman, shout out to Desiree and a couple of my other favorite ones. I won't go into names, but we'll move on past that. Shut up, Jacob. Where was that? Sorry, let me take this off.
White hat.
So when it's something as simple as a hat not being turned backwards, my question is to my officiator, my white hat. How did you not see that before the ball was snapped? What are you watching exactly? pockets cut flags, short flags, you know. It's one of those things that your pre-snap read is very important because you're going to argue about it later on in the play. So it's a huge deal. It's not really just the hats, but that's just the beginning. I mean, there's so many other things that go on. Now they're wearing this weird-ass goggles on the side of their heads and GoPros. I don't know if I've ever watched a GoPro from a flag football game. It's the worst footage in the world. I have no idea. I'd rather go to a fat midget strip club than watch a GoPro flag football game.
Yeah, would you rather do that than a lot of
I'd rather things. Do that. I might do that in Vegas anyway. Oh yeah. But yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand when a ref is touted to be good but can't catch the simple things pre-snap.
So Lance, it sounded like Chun was calling you out over and over and over.
Lance got a big old wooden spoon out tonight. You guys notice that?
Hey,
you know, hey, let's just say, just be glad you're on a cart there, Mr. Chun, on
Lance,
in Vegas.
Do you live in the X Mansion? Is that Professor X's house? What is that? Kind of like that. If maybe I have that next have week, another, don't say nothing.
Maybe you should have another drink.
I will. Speaking of that, white hats though, let me ask y'all something, because this has happened now in several tournaments. I won't name the cities that we've been in, but as a white hat, when an altercation happens on the field, whose job is it, do you feel, should put it into the fight, the fisticuffs?
Yours,
the police.
Not us.
So as a white hat, you guys are looking for me and Jacob to come tell them to stop?
I mean, call the police.
Hey, so Chun, just so you know how this works, you gotta say someone first, so not everybody talks.
Okay,
let's go with Ant.
He said the police. I'm interested in that. Go ahead, Ant.
Okay. Hey, so as far as it goes with me, I've been involved in my past life in too many fights. So when I see a fight break out, I don't want any part of that, and I will walk 25 yards away from that. Anything else going on in the field that's not football, it doesn't involve me. So that's how I feel about that. I'm not getting hurt. I'm a father. I don't want somebody to ricochet off of one person and hit me. And so once it becomes a boxing match and not a football game anymore, I feel like my job is through at that point. I mean, as directors, y'all can hoot and holler and everything like that. Who knows? Maybe there's a point when the police got to show up and they got to deal with that. But as far as a fight happening, I feel like once that happens, I step away to protect myself and my safety.
Pat?
All right, Chun. So, you know, by being Pat, you know, it's normally an umpire that's normally in the middle as far as on the defense. So that umpire normally catches the fight ahead of time because he's listening to the lineman at all times. So as a white hat, we're pretty much at a distance. So when a fight breaks out and there's only two refs on the field, you don't want to put yourself in danger when it comes to that, because at that point in time, game is already suspended anyways. Right. So why go and put yourself in harm's? And now, you know, a guy hit me, I'm going to get my lick back.
Right.
I'm sorry, you know. Now you lose a ref and you lose, you know, so instead of your white hats going and trying to break up fights, we've already briefed them. They already read the letter before coming to the tournament. No fights, ends up with this, this, and that. Hey, it's not the white hat responsibility to put themselves in harm or the other official. So, you know, the directors will take care of it and they move on from there. That's just my opinion. But, you know, it's normally more than just two referees on the field. So
right.
When you have pads. So that's my perspective.
Zane, what about you, man? Because I remember Miami. what do you think?
I got me a whole routine. I call my boss down here, and then I'm going to walk to the sideline, grab me a snack, and rehydrate, and just watch everything unfold.
That was smart man. Lance, what about you, man? You and I are smaller stature than the rest of these guys. We don't want to get bumped and knocked over, kind of like Miami. What do you think when a fight breaks out? What do you like to do?
He keeps, Lance, please don't. Start to keep throwing shots back at him.
Keep. You really want to know what I'm doing? I'm going to go find me a chair. I'm not going to go drink some alcohol because I'm probably still wrecking. Grab me some nice water and watch the show. Because I have, to Ant's point, I don't care. I don't know any of these people. I still have to take care of myself, and I want to go home in one piece. So don't get paid enough. Don't get trained enough.
Right.
I have had to break up fights in high school tackle, and that's even worse. So I don't like doing it. And I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't know these people. This is not my town. Kind of don't care. I mean, your guys are adults. If you guys can't control your emotions and you guys want to be assholes to yourselves and just like, you know, act like a fool. Because it's all going to be recorded, and probably you're going to be the one that's going to be with a great meme with your face on it. So I'm just going to sit back and relax.
I appreciate y'all's honesty. Appreciate that, guys.
But, you know, like also as a white hat, like if you see a fight, you know, brewing, I mean, you got to do your best to get that person or get those people off the field, give them a cool down, you know, just de-escalate it before it does get to that fight. But if it happens just out of nowhere, which that happened in San Diego and a couple other tournaments.
Yeah. Good God. That was on the other side of the field.
Yeah. San Diego was Whistlegate. I remember that. Yeah.
Hey, Zane, I got one at the top of you, man. As far as I've seen control the whole game, as far as no fights, no indications of a fight. At the end of the game, walking through the line, good game. What can you do? You know, hey, yeah. That's your field. You're the white hat. You did everything you could do to make sure it was no altercation. You controlled the field. But now, after the game, you go supposed to be doing good sportsmanship, and then somebody gets swung on, you know, going through the line. Something you can't prevent.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, Pat, were you the official on a field for me in Tampa like 2 years ago? Because that's exactly what happened on our field. We beat a team in overtime, and we were good game, and my DB got sucker punched in the hand chase.
Nope, I wasn't there, but I did see.
that's crazy. I think that's I appreciate you asking that, Chun, and I mean, I think that's a situation that ultimately, if we can control out the gate, I know you guys don't play contact in Texas at all, Chun, but in North Carolina,
we are now. Hold. They started a 6-on-6 contact league, and the fisticuffs were there just like I expected it to be. But
people don't know how to put their hands on each other.
Right.
It's in North Carolina, in the trenches, I know they whine, but it during the playoffs there was no fight. I mean, it was it seemed like we managed things well. The few times where it seemed like something was popping off, I think Jordan and Pat both got it to cool down pretty quick, and so I mean that's the top contact league. And it seems to me like it was managed. So I think that plays a big part in it, is managing it out the gate. As soon as it seems like, I mean, we all know the words that are going to trigger people, right? So once we hear those words start flying and it has nothing to do with football, that's when unsportsmanlikes need to come out. So to kind of bring back into our topic, Jacob, if you can just, I want to give you the soapbox, the opportunity to just talk about why is it important as an official that you're getting paid? It's a job. Why is it important to be in uniform for that job?
Because you're supposed to be as professional as possible. The first thing that players see when you walk out on the field is your appearance. And if they see you out there in 1-inch stripes, wearing white shorts, you know, hats turned sideways, no hat at all, you know, penalty flag in your pocket. Sorry, my bad, guys. They see, you know, they see you looking, you know, a mess. They're going to immediately say, okay, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, or this woman doesn't know what they're doing. We can do whatever we want. We can cause problems, and we can get away with it. So if you come out there, you look like you mean business. A lot of times – You know, you're going to have some that are still going to come at you regardless. But if you start looking looking as a professional, you're not going to have as many problems from the jump. People are going to treat you a little bit differently than if you're not looking the part.
Yeah, and I want to kind of play the devil's advocate a little bit. Chun, for example, is the director of an organization. And so when he's struggling to find officials and he just grabs a random player and hands him a flag and a whistle, how do you deal with that? How do you manage that? Because it is hard to find officials, and sometimes you got to take what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pandemic of the better players that ref want to play as well. They're still in player mode. I try my best to stay away from picking those guys, but you can't run from it. I think we all deal with that in every city we go to. And then you do have to sometimes pick up a random, and it can be bad for business. I think your reputation has to precede itself, and they understand that, hey, this is maybe an isolated incident, but it can't become a regular offense for you as a organization to just pick up random people. I was once in Roswell, New Mexico, for a tournament, and they came over the loudspeaker and said, does anybody want to make $100 to ref cash 4-on-4 tournament? So you had moms and daughters with ref shirts on, reffing your game. It's bad, but it's getting to the point now. I've learned a lot from Jacob, and he's taught me what to look for when it comes to officiating. Dealing with previous director we had, shout out to Hollywood. Jacob and Hollywood, they have different ways of approaching assigning you guys. And Jacob's approach is kind of the approach that I would like to take myself if I was in his position. And shower your guys with loyalty, and they'll shower you back with it. And even if they suck, because we do got a lot of refs that suck. I mean, let's just keep it 100, man. They suck as much as the teams do. But they try their best for Jacob because they're loyal to Jacob, and that's really all you can ask for.
Send them to Camel City. We'll train them up.
Gotcha.
Yo. Good job. Send them through the friggin' fire. Now, and to kind of piggyback off of what Chun's saying, I mean, like, there is times where you definitely have to, I mean, as a league owner, it's, you know, you're in a bind where, you know, everybody you've called that you normally lean on is, you know, unavailable, busy, life's happened, cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters, brother-in-law, hamster just died. So you gotta make it work with what you got. There's times where I would rather myself just get on the field, as opposed to bring somebody in. It just depends on the situation. The nice thing is I know that any one of you guys on this video, I can hop on the field with and have zero issue. Right. There's others where it's going to be a curve. But we also don't have the luxury of having like a great place to train people, a great place to spend the time we need. So there's a lot of trial by fire. So some of these guys, if you want to get them better, you do kind of have to just throw them out there and see what happens.
Sure. All right. Well, I think that's a good enough talk on that topic. What do we got next, Zane?
Next question is for Chun. I just want to ask you, where do you think the current state of flag is at the moment versus what it's come from and then where it's going?
That's a fantastic question. One second. No, it's a really good question. You guys are great at this, man. I don't give a fuck what anybody tells y'all. The current state of flag, I mentioned this the other day. Mind you, when I first started doing this, I watched every trend go by, from the breast awareness cleats when they were, you know, pink was the first exotic color we were wearing, to the white football coming around, to all these colorful fruity backpacks that we're wearing now, to mushroom flags, cloth flags, superhero flags, customized cleats, dudes wearing 19 armbands on their arms. I've seen it all. But what I didn't notice on my way into growing with the sport, I didn't notice the women and the youth taking off the way they did. I was so fixated with the males and what I was doing, whether it been, you know, 8-on-8, 4-on-4, and 5-on-5. The women and the children is where flag is headed. I think male flag football will fall off here in the next 2 to 3 years. I think that we're hitting a stalemate with it. There's only so much you can do. It's regurgitated stuff. I mean, it's let me make a pretty website, give you some videos, give you some stats, give you, you know, a glittery ring. But it's not really growing. The older players are falling off. The younger guys think they already know what it is. And I just think that, and even some of them are leaning towards coaching the women. So I just think that in 2 or 3 years, the women and children's game will replace what we were doing with the males and will be in the background. So, yeah, that's where I think flag is going.
Yeah, Chen, honestly, I agree with you. I talk about kind of my background in Colorado, and I remember just, you know, 3-4 years ago kind of telling the directors that they were so fixed on 8-man contact, and that's where it's at, and we're never going to let this format go. And the leagues have just dwindled and dwindled, and they can't get anyone to sign up, and they can't find field space, and there continues to be issues and fights and all of that. And it just really seems like it's headed in the direction. Now I'm seeing the same thing in Southern California, where guys that are my age, and I'm not playing anymore, but guys that are in the early 40s, mid 40s, and they still want to play. The only thing they want to play is this sixes format that is only in Southern California. Right. And they don't want to change. They don't want to change the rules. They don't want to go into the future. They don't want to support the women's game at all. I mean, there's leagues that they have all day and all night. They got men's games going. And then anytime, you know, women say, well, what about us? When can we play? Oh, yeah, we'll put you on the side field in the afternoon. Right. We'll fit you in. And I think, you know, I think ultimately that's the wrong approach. Lance, what do you see as far as the Bay Area? Do you see that shift happening, or what do you notice?
I think in general, I would agree with Chun from the perspective of where it's women, but mostly youth. I'll give you a great example. We just did Lawrence for United Sports of America is now doing NFL youth. He's going to go from 2 locations up to, I believe we're going to jump up to like 8. In this and later in the spring up to almost 20 by the end of the year. So it's all about the youth just because it's going to carry. And then, you know, again, to Chun's point, it's all about the women. You know, I know California as a state, we're behind relative to like Florida and Texas as it relates to girls high school, as well as women players flourishing in the sport. Or, you know, we will be in year 2 for CIF girls flag football in high school. And then that's just going to, you know, year 1 was year 1. We took our lumps. Now with year 2, they've updated the rule set a little bit. They've actually taken some suggestions from us in terms of mechanics and things that they should be working on. So now what I'm hoping is that as years progress and we grow this sport, especially in the high school level, it just promotes it. And then again, you know, we've got 2028. That's the goal, right? We've got 2028 coming, and that's what we want to shoot for. And if we can get it to a point where there's excitement, and yes, there'll always be excitement for the men's just because of the dynamics of the athleticism. But if you see all the women that are coming out there that are playing, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Finland in August is 60 plus total teams, almost 70 plus total countries are participating. That's a lot. So flag is there. It's promoting. It's actually getting everyone, but it's just where the growth is with the youth.
Yeah. And Pat, I know you're heavily involved in the women's game and officiating out in North Carolina, in the DMV. You know, what have you noticed? What trends have you noticed?
Well, as far as I've heard it over the weekend, as far as, It's supposed to be, and I'm quoting exactly what the guy told me. supposed to be four HBCUs. They're in the talks of making it actually a NCAA actual sport for women, flag football. It's in the talks right now. It should be happening really soon. So, like, when I say women coming in, like, getting full scholarships to play flag football, like men get to play tackle football, it's four schools in the works right now. It's already one. It's a collegiate sport and not just a recreation sport. It's actually in the works right now. But as far as eight women, it's never going to go nowhere down in the South right now. It's hard to even get the women to play fives because they're so used to playing eights. And it's more women that are able to get on the field compared to the fives. So that's why they want to stick with eight women. That's why it's so hard to get, like, the small formats for the women. And then you got all the men, you know, they're getting older, so fives and sixes fits them. And fields, most, and this is what I'm hearing, most people don't want to rent out fields to men because the men are going to trash the field, they're going to tear up the fields, they don't care. But the women, I see it every weekend. They bring out trash bags, they have everything set up, the fields don't get torn up, and they get fields just like this, man, with no issues at all. People more polite and more easier to get them a field to play or whatever. But that's my view on it. But that's what I've heard. And so don't be surprised in, like, the next few months or, you know, less than a year, you hear three more schools announce women's collegiate flag football.
I agree 110%, because one thing we don't ever hear about are fights or guns pulled at women's tournaments or, right. You know, I know we've had a couple of incidents with youth with, you know, but that's been with pads and things like that. And 7-on-7 can get kind of rough. We even seen them jump on a former NFL player, but compare that to our local leagues where guns are being toted and pulled out. We had a dude pull out a gun and cock it on somebody's chest. Just a month ago. These dudes are crazy, man. They act like this GTA. They can pull out guns and go home and come right back like nothing happened. These aren't issues you're having with kids and women. And what they don't understand, when we approach these parks and recreation departments and we announce, hey, I would like to rent your facility, and they ask what it's for, and you say flag football, the first thing they do is put the phone down. They whisper, oh, man, that's where the dudes were fighting at last week, or that's where the marijuana smoke was. They'll be like, nah, we don't want to rent to you guys. So, yeah, it's the men, like Pat said, the men will never go away, but it's going to dwindle, and it's coming. You can see it now, but a lot of people acting like, you know, tournament numbers are bigger, so you think, oh, it's getting larger. It's not. It's going to take a hit. Just remember this conversation we're having.
Zane, anything you want to add to that?
Honestly, no. I'm about to say I feel like Pat covered it extremely well.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, you know, I have a daughter that's in high school age. CIF added flag football to the fall for her to be able to play. She's playing in a women's league right now. But yeah, I mean, just even with her, unfortunately, there's not a lot of opportunities around. And California's, you know, one of the biggest states. Most populated, and she, unless I get her on a traveling team where I'm spending $500 a month and, you know, putting all this money into it, she really doesn't have the opportunity to play flag football. And so, just as a father of three kids as they're growing up, I hope that those opportunities open up for them and it becomes more accessible. Zane, we got one more topic. What were we talking about last?
Lastly, we are, just looking ahead to Vegas and what's next to come.
Cool. So Lance, what are you excited about?
Just excited to head out to Vegas. 3-day event. It's going to be, there'll be three long days. And I think we were talking
Hell's about Kitchen.
It's not Hell's Kitchen yet. It'll be, if we went in August, then yes, it'll be Hell's Kitchen. But this time it's only two digits. It's not three digits.
Okay. Lance, I was referring to something else, Lance, but keep going.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about, and I'm not going there. Anyways, okay. Why is he just so looking mad? Forward to catching up with with everyone that we've been fortunate to work with in the past, and, you know, just coming out. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there, if I saw correctly, Chuck posted, there's like 270 plus teams that are out, that are coming out. So a full 3 days. Yeah. So full 3 days of really good small ball format football, and just looking forward to it. You know, if you're coming out, stay hydrated. It's going to be, it's going to be warm. And you know, I actually like the fields. They're actually well kept, and you know, I like the facility.
Lance, and I know it's been like 4 or 5 years since the Curry Bombers have won a tournament. Oh, you think this will be the one?
Let me go talk to Law tonight, because I'll be seeing him for Monday Night League. So let me go ask him.
Okay, and Sean, I know that I noticed that Dallas Jumpman is bringing a team. Those are your guys. They have any chance in the pro division? Or are they going to get knocked off in the quarterfinals like usual?
You know, they had a good showing down in Tampa, if you guys remember that. It's really based on Brad, their quarterback. Shout out to my guy Brad. He will watch this and he will remember this video. He can be erratic a little bit, kind of a la Tony Romo, but he wants it. He means it when he's playing. You know, who knows, man? Weather, field conditions, all kind of stuff, man. Y'all know how Vegas is, bro. You know, you get out there and only have three people on your team because everybody else is still on Fremont, so there's no telling what's going to happen.
Or at Hell's Kitchen.
Or Hell's Kitchen with yeah.
Yeah. Leave it alone.
And I did officiate the Jumpman against the Freaks in fives in Tampa, and Jumpman definitely pulled off an upset in that. Do you think that the Freaks just had other plans, and that's why they're not coming out to Vegas, or why aren't they around for this?
You know, their members. Let's just. I'm amazed that we're about to get off this show and no one brought up the AFSL. Are we staying away from that? Is that what y'all doing?
Oh, no, we was going to let you do that. We didn't want to steal your shine.
Let's, you know. So people are available. You never know who shows up this weekend. But in all due respect from all of us combined to everybody that was involved with that situation, none of the jokes are directed towards you guys as players. You guys are living the dream that we all probably thought about when we first started playing the game. The comedy and the gist of it is due to the organization and how shitty they were to y'all. And we hopefully that y'all find solace in whatever and don't lose love in flag football, because not everybody's going to do you like that. And so shout out to everybody involved with AFFL. You know, it hurt a lot of people that I know, that we all know. It's a sad situation, but the players will be available, and hopefully we see some available.
And something else they should hold on to. I mean, they had an opportunity and were given an opportunity, whether, you know, the longevity of whatever, you know, that no one else has ever had. You know, they were going to be given the opportunity to actually like draw a legitimate paycheck from playing, not, you know, some team captain saying, hey, I'll throw you $200 if you throw three touchdowns.
Right.
You know, they were actually going to make a couple, you know, depending on who it was, a couple grand a week playing flag football. That's amazing. So hey, there's Jake, nothing they should hold their head about.
Jacob, I can tell you. Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead, Pat.
No, I was going to tell you. I mean, mine's just a joke. I could tell you that the league was going to go a flop when I got a couple of footballs. It was flat as hell. I put air in them three times, and it just kept going flat. See the air, you see the football in the background. I mean, it just kept going flat. I'm like, oh my God, they don't even make the footballs even good anymore. I'm like, what the hell? So yeah, and then when I seen the message come out like 3 days later, I was like, well, I predicted this one. That's why I saved the picture of me holding the football that's flat as hell after I put air in it.
I will say this though, my screensaver is Bruce's AFFL picture. I look at it before I make any decision, because I know it could go bad.
WWBD, so what would Bruce
Mapp, wherever you at, bro, your screen shaver with you back to back with Corey. Yeah, that's my. I look at that before I swipe my debit card anywhere.
Hey, and John, I just got to call you out, man, because in your whole little your proper speech, and you giving a lot of credit, and I appreciate everything you just said. Here we go. There is no way at your height you ever thought you were going to be a pro athlete.
Okay. See, you know.
Shit. Shot fire.
Okay, let me say this.
Hold on, I need to drink to that.
Hold on, let me. I like this. Give me 1 second.
Shit.
Jacob, can I get him or no?
No.
Can I?
Okay. One more week.
You're right.
I need him for this weekend. We need him for this weekend.
Yeah. I bow out gracefully. Yeah, I was zero chance, brother.
That is not the chun I know. Oh my god!
Right, I am.
It's 2024. People being better.
Hey, but when we hit that hotel, though, I will be knocking.
Hey, I'm out.
Yeah. Look at him.
I'm out.
No, that was a good one, man. I applaud you on that one. I can take it.
All right, cool. Hey, man, you know, you just kept that. You kept asking. You wanted to come on. So you come on to the show. We got to fire you up a little.
Yeah. And, but can I take a second to do something real quick? Pat, Zane, Lance, Jacob, happy birthday to you, my brother. That's my little brother. We take care of each other on the road. No, Diddy. I mean, y'all, the relationship we have, I have more calls from Jacob than my own mother. Literally before the show, I was talking to Jacob. I was walking around a house that I just closed on. But between you guys, you know, everything that y'all do, sacrificing your family time, your relationship time to travel on the road with us, eating Subway sandwiches 3 days in a row. I personally, myself, for Jacob and everybody else on the staff, we thank you guys for the hard work you do. There's not a lot of flowers for what you guys do, man. At the end of the day, we all suck. They're going to tell us that Sunday night. Y'all know that. And but I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate y'all for having me on your show. Hopefully, tag me to everything, man. You never know who's watching this. There might be a cougar with some good credit out there.
That was Jacob.
Pat, anything you're looking forward to in Vegas in particular?
I'm you already know what I'm going to. Well, as soon as we're done, hey, I'm showering, I'm headed to the cigar bar. So gotcha. Don't ask me what you're doing, where you, I'm out of there. So if you don't. Hey, if you're not a cigar culture, hey, that's where I'm gonna be at. You're welcome to join me, whoever you are. Hey, but don't come with no bullshit.
Gotcha.
Don't talk about football.
Hey, and Pat, did anything work? Did any good contact team sign up, or it's just same old story?
Like I told you, in my post. There's nowhere in the hell East Coast teams going to hot ass Vegas when we got East Coast Nationals around the corner and it's going to be 75 degrees. Hell no. So, and just like I thought it would be, the two teams that's going out west, they stay out west. They didn't come to the East Coast. And there's still two more slots. And I'm quite sure Mike wouldn't mind signing them up. So, New Dynasty and Colorado Bears. There's two spots. Use your earnings from this weekend. And come on down. It's an invitation, pro.
Sean, anything else you want to add before we close out?
It looks like me and Jacob are heading to help Drew Brees do something. I don't know if you've seen that yet, Jacob.
You got that, yeah.
Okay, all right. Shout out to Drew Brees. in case Here you're watching.
Make sure you
know. But other than Vegas, I look forward to seeing you guys. Safe travels, man. Rather you're flying Spirit or Frontier. Wish you best of luck with that. Friday night, I think, is one of our early nights, Jacob. Is it Friday?
Yeah, Friday night is. Yeah.
So if you guys got time, let's all link up and do dinner Friday night. On Saturday and Sunday, I'll be probably at the Bunny Ranch. And we can link up Friday. And real quick, if I could, let me shout out some local Dallas people. Is that okay with y'all, man? Vanita's Ivy League. I gotta shout out Vanita, man, the GOAT. Vanita's Ivy League, Chris Kennedy's USA Flag Co-Ed Football. Lance Wilson's Flag Football United, and TMTR, the Texas Six-Man Contact League that just started. Shout out to him as well. They'll be watching. They follow you guys now, and they wanted a shout out, so there you go.
Hey, appreciate it.
All right.
Zane, speaking of shout outs, where can people find us?
Man, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, everywhere. I'm currently in the process. I just got an email about 2 hours ago that hopefully sometime in the next couple of days we will also be on Apple Podcasts.
About freaking
that, oh, I know. Lord. I thought you were about to say OnlyFans. I was like, yeah.
No.
The way the camera went out and came back. Yeah, you would think that, right?
But hopefully sometime and by the end of the week, we will also be on Apple Podcasts. So that's something to look forward to as well. I believe that's it.
Cool. All right. Well, I appreciate y'all coming on and joining the show.
Thank you very much, brother.
All right, fellas.